Would you like to have 2020 spiritual vision? That's what we're talking about here today. This is one of the most awe-inspiring sentences in the entire Bible. And it's so easy to just run right past it and forget how powerful it is. So you think those accents were British or Aussies? Which one? Aussie, that was my guess too. I'm going to give it a shot here in a minute to see if I can imitate their accent. Just wait a while though. In just a few words, in this sentence, we see how we can see God. Think about that. That should be our number one goal, our greatest desire. We sing about seeing God. We think and pray and say, God, I really want to see you. I want to know who you are. I want to see you as you really are. God, show us your glory. That's what we talk about here. That's the blessing of this beatitude. They will see God. Now, it's also easy to see how our great desire to see him is preceded by the greatest challenge you can fathom. Blessed are the pure in heart. When you and I try to get there through self-effort, through our own means, through our own goals, if we'll be really honest and self-examine our spirits and hearts, we will know we don't come close to that. We can't even get in that universe by ourselves. So how is that going to happen? First of all, we need to start by understanding what it means to be pure in heart, and specifically what the heart is that's being referred to in this beatitude. What is the heart that Jesus is referring to in verse 8? So here's my Aussie accent. You ready? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. How about it? I love that accent. I really do. I love listening to it. We know when Jesus speaks about the heart, he is not referring to the physical organ that is existing inside each one of us. The heart is the inner person. That's what Jesus means when he speaks about the heart. It is the person on the inside. It's not what we look like on the outside, but we are measured spiritually by the inner person, the inside of each of us, the spiritual life. Look at what we read in that wisdom verse in Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. What does that mean? The inner person is who you really are. Young people, students, don't get bogged down in the Western culture emphasis on looking good on the outside. That's not the true measure of who you are, of who any of us are. The inner person really becomes the spiritual food supply for who we are as people. The inner person feeds us so that we can become pure in heart. The heart also refers to a person's loyalty. It is the inner person, but it's also defined by one's loyalty, priorities, direction in life. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your heart is that which is most valuable to you. It's what you prioritize. It's what you put at the top of the list. Today, what is most important to me? That's a question that all of us need to ask transparently today. What is really most important to me in life today? Your priorities and your actions are really advertisements of your heart. What is most important to you, what you invest your time and your talents and abilities in doing, are advertising what's most important in your life. So if that were the case today, what would we look like on the inside? And then Jesus speaks about being pure in heart. That's the ultimate goal for the life that's defined by hope, this message series is about living with hope. Do you want real spiritual hope today? It begins with an interchange, with the heart. And what is it defined by? This is it in a nutshell. Single-minded devotion to Jesus Christ. Simply put, that means he's first. Everything else falls underneath his lordship. When Jesus Christ is the most important one and cause in our lives, we are understanding what pure in heart means. And that word pure that's used in the Greek language is katharos, from which we get cathartic and some other English words that you may be familiar with. When something is pure, nothing else is mixed in with it. In the first century world, when they use that word catharsis, katharos, from which we get catharsis, it refers to something that's pure and unadulterated. For example, gold is katharos when it has not been mixed with any other metals and diluted by those other metals. Milk is katharos. It is pure when it's not been watered down, when somebody doesn't take water and pour it into that milk. Another use of that word in Greek culture is clean. It refers to a dish that has been cleaned or clothes that have been washed and now they are clean. Think about that. Think about this awesome beatitude. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Here's the problem. We can't get there by ourselves. You and I cannot become pure in heart by ourselves. Now, please understand this. To pursue this beatitude, which I recommend for every Christ follower, doesn't mean you'll be perfect. It means you'll be in the process of growth the rest of your life. None of us is 100% pure in heart. But if we set that as our goal, I think it's a worthy goal to pursue. What do you think? So as we look at that together, let's listen to what Jeremiah says in his prophetic book about the heart. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? What does this mean? We are sinful. All of us are. We are sinful by nature and by choice. And because the heart is not naturally pure, when it's left to fend for itself, what will happen? It naturally gravitates towards self-centered living. That's the natural process of walking outside the power of Jesus Christ. But here's the good news. Jesus tells us that purity of heart is possible. Yes, it's something that we can pursue, and by his grace and strength, we can have a blessing. So how do we get there? How can we move towards the pure in heart process? How do we become a pure in heart individual? Here are some inadequate sources. We need to understand how we don't get there before we can realize how we can get there. The first one is the environment we live in. Some have assumed through the years that if they could just live in the right place and be around the right people, then that means they'll be okay. They can be pure in heart. That's how the monastic movement began in the Middle Age period. Men and women made decisions that they were going to remove themselves from mainstream society, live by themselves, much in isolation, so that they can be free from all the temptations that they would experience being around other people. But here is the truth about that kind of lifestyle. Wherever you go, you take your heart with you. You can't leave your spiritual inner person behind. Someone else has said it in this way: wherever you go, there you are. And wherever we are, we're going to face challenges. And when we think about environment, don't forget about this. Where did the very first sin occur? In the Garden of Eden, in a place of perfection where there had been no sin, no failure, and God himself walked with Adam and Eve. You can't get a better environment than that. And yet, Adam and Eve both still failed. So remember that. It's not all about who you hang around with. That's important, but it's not all important. And it's not about where you live. There's another inadequate way of trying to be pure in heart. And I call this self-cleansing. In other words, I'm going to take care of it myself. I'm going to get rid of my impurities. I'm going to take care of those problems. Can we become pure in heart by just working at it in our own physical strength, with our own limited abilities? Folks, we do not have that type of spiritual transformative power. You and I can't make that happen within ourselves. Jesus had some very strong words to say to the most churchy people of his day, the Pharisees and the tax collectors. Look at what he says in Matthew 23, verses 27 and 28. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." Now, my friends, the Pharisees are the most dominant force in the nation of Israel. They bring on this form of legalism, this outside churchy living that on the outside looks good, but they're trying to transform the inside by doing stuff on the outside. And it doesn't work that way. We cannot be transformed from the outside to the inner person. The Pharisees would add these burdensome traditions to scriptures that actually weighed people down and kept them from knowing God. They tried to put guilt on each of them. That happens today in the religious world. We need to avoid that. No amount of human effort will ever achieve the inner purity that is described in our Beatitude today in verse 8. Basically, there are only two belief systems in the world. And I'll say this a lot. You can categorize everything into one of these two belief systems. One of them is called human achievement, which says, "I can. I'll make it happen. I'll work at righteousness. I'll work at being pure in heart." And it always fails. The other form is called God accomplishment. And that's what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. Christianity fits into that category because it says, "I can't, but God can." And this is the good news about this beatitude. So how can we pursue this purity? We've recognized what the heart is. We know what it is. We have seen where we don't need to go to try to be pure in heart. So now, how can we become pure in heart? How can we grow in our relationships with God? The purity process begins with a spiritual heart transplant. That's where it has to start for every single one of us. I was talking one day with a lady who works in a hospital with children who have some really significant heart conditions and issues. And many times in the past, especially, these children would need heart transplants. And as I was talking to this medical leader, she said, "Today, the medicine and technology for such challenges with children is so much better and can go so much further that it's not as critical for them to have as many heart transplants as they used to have, even just a decade ago. It's really changed in the last 10 years. That's really good news medically, isn't it? That's so exciting to hear. But let me just tell you this. The same is not true spiritually. You cannot put a Band-Aid on the spiritual heart and become pure in heart. We need a spiritual heart transplant. We need a completely new beginning. The Bible calls this being born again. I refer to it as becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. That's where it must start. Look at the Old Testament grace that we see in Ezekiel 36, verse 26. "I will give you a new heart." This is God speaking. "And put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart in flesh. You see, when a person enters into a relationship with Jesus Christ and is born again or saved, he or she is a new creation, the Bible says. It's a new beginning. The old is gone and the new has started. That's the beginning. He gives us a new spiritual heart. Have you received yours yet? Have you made that commitment to turn your life over to the transforming power of Jesus Christ? But I want you to know this. A lot of you are saying, yeah, I've had that spiritual transplant. I've begun, but I'm still struggling with being pure in heart. I want you to know this. We will never be 100% pure in heart until we're with God at the end of life. I want to give you hope. If you're struggling now, the chances are you are pretty close to a lot of others who are doing the same thing. But today, God can help us take the next step. We can grow. Think about all the awesome challenges that we face of purity from the inside to the outside. You see, sometimes we think we're doing pretty good, but do you realize that it's possible to do the right thing on the outside and sin on the inside at the same time because we're doing it with the wrong motive and the wrong attitude? That's what the Pharisees were doing. On the outside, looked good, looked awesome. On the inside, the motive was not there. They were sinning by doing religious deeds. All of us fail. All of us fall short. So what do we do? How do we grow in this life of purity? This is for all of us today who are followers of Christ. We need to regularly take spiritual sponge baths. Confession. Confession is a spiritual discipline that should always be in our lives. In fact, I believe it should grow as time goes on. Consistent confession. Confession means to agree with God that we have fallen short. His Holy Spirit will tell us. He's the one who reminds us. At that moment, we need to say yes. Look at the prayer of David in Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. This is confession. We confess our sins. We agree with God. If we fail to, folks, we're on our own. We should be confessional every single day of our lives because the chances are excellent that we're going to do something wrong or not do something right that God's inviting us to do. The essence of whether we're going to live in a pure way, in a God-honoring way, is this way. We're either going to live godly or selfie. Which is it going to be for me? People who are old like me, that's a new cool term. Ask your grandchildren about being a selfie. It kind of describes itself. Focusing on me. It's all about me, my priorities, my things. The other option is to live for God. Spiritual purity is going to be strongly influenced by our diet. This is another way that we can become pure in heart. The purity process says you need to strongly be influenced by your diet. So, today, what are you feeding your mind, your body, and your motives? What are you introducing to your mind? The Bible says we can have the mind of Christ. Purity begins with the mind, this great tool God has given us. Look at 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Think about that phrase. Anything that sets itself up against knowing God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We take captive every thought. Now, this word here, again, katharos, is a really strong word. In some cases in the first century world, it refers to a militant approach When we think of pure, sometimes we think of passive. That's not at all what purity is. It is aggressive. That word was used to describe an army in the first century world that has gotten rid of all the soldiers who are indifferent about the cause for which they are fighting, or for those who are discontented with what's going on. In other words, the army is purged of all the ineffective soldiers, so now it's become a first-class fighting machine. Choose to do that with your mind. What are you watching on TV? What are you accessing on computers and other forms of technology? What movies do you choose to watch? Because you are introducing to your mind concepts, words, and images that will impact you. It's my opinion that you're not going to be able to have a heavy diet of media in the 21st century world and be pure in heart at the same time. And it's going to take some tough choices about what we do in that area. What music are you listening to? It's so neat today that there's some incredible music on the radio anytime you want to turn it on. You can put it on your iPod. You can put it anywhere and you can listen to it. And those words can encourage you and lead you towards purity of heart. Do you need to change your mental diet any today? Is the Holy Spirit asking you to do that? How about others that are around you? Again, our environment doesn't dictate purity of heart by itself. But to be honest, the people that we hang around do influence us, don't they? So whom are you hanging around? Whose values are you listening to? Whose insight and input are you buying into? That will impact purity of mind. Now, while we can't control every aspect of the environment around us, we understand that. We're going to be exposed to it. We do need to be careful that we control the times that we need to stop it, walk away from it, so that we don't settle into an unhealthy situation. It was so ironic. As I was typing this message on my computer, the icon on my computer, the Skype icon, beeped at me, and I looked down and saw a message. I checked it out, and it came from a woman with a made-up name asking me to add her to my contact list. Just out of the blue. Folks, times like these, you delete and move on, baby. Don't get sucked in to that because it will impact you. Can I challenge you at another level? This is a challenging message. If you're a guest here today, just know that we love you. We're not trying to be hard. We love you enough that we want you to take it to the next level. And we're going to try to make sure we don't ever compromise the Word of God. So we just want the very, very best for you. Can I challenge you at this area? The way we live can impact the purity of others. The outside of a person, remember, does not define the inner person, the purity of the heart. But the way you dress can affect the purity of others. Ladies, this is where you could really help us, guys, if you'd like to. We're visually oriented. That's how we're made. And can be easily stimulated visually. There was a lady who was a young lady who was talking about having made a commitment to Christ. It was fairly new in her life. And afterwards, she's getting ready to go to a party, so she picked out a costume and put it on and went over to the mirror. And she said, as I looked in the mirror, it seemed as if Jesus was looking at me. She then said, I went back and changed my outfit. And today, I dress as though Jesus is my escort every day. Pretty good way to live. We're really growing spiritually when we make decisions that will help others have pure thought lives. We're thinking beyond ourselves. Another way that we can control our diet is physically. What are you feeding your body? What are you doing to take care of that gift from God? It is His temple, isn't it? He chooses to live in us. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You're not your own. you were bought with a price, therefore honor God with your body. That means taking care of our bodies with diet, with exercise. We also need to be sexually pure. Now, we'll come back to this topic another day and go into more detail. But let me just tell you that there is only one biblical expression of purity in the Bible, and that is a relationship between a husband and a wife. That is the only biblical appropriate expression of sexuality. So what does that mean? That means premarital sex, extramarital sex, pornography, homosexuality. All of them prevent us from being pure in heart. And if you're involved in those lifestyles, you'll never see God like you could when you turn from that and turn towards them. We need to make sure that we feed our lives, our spiritual lives, with the right motives. And this is a big deal for me. Every day that I come up in front of you and share, I have to make sure that I'm doing it with the right motive. I need to make sure that I'm not up here to be seen or to have you pat me on the back and say, good job. I need to make sure that I'm doing it for the glory of God. Now, this is a challenge. We need to go all the way to the inside. Why am I doing what I am doing? Am I doing it for the glory of God? Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Think about that. The awesome byproducts of purity are closeness to God now. Not just one day in heaven. It's both. We can be closer to Him right now. Is that an exciting thought? We can know Him. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory. The more we grow, the more we are like God, the more we see God, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. We can see Him now. We can be close to Him now. What an amazing privilege. And then one glorious day, Christ followers, every single spiritual hindrance that we face here is going to be forever removed. 1 John 3, verse 2 says, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. It's on the spiritual horizon. But we do know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. The psalmist says, and I close with this great thought, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. You're ready to see Him like never before? Father, help us grow. I pray that lives today will be filled with hope, not discouragement, not being overwhelmed. All of us have so far to go. But I pray that You'll give us hope through Christ so that we can be pure in heart, grow, and see You and know You more and more. Lord, we do pray, show us Your glory. So speak to our lives. Show us what needs to change here today, some steps that we need to take. Please speak to all of us. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. We're on a journey of hope through the Beatitudes. And where does that journey take us? It begins with a heart transplant, a spiritual heart transplant. I invite you, if you've not taken that step of commitment yet, why don't you do that? It is an awesome, awesome journey of hope. We'd love to celebrate with you. We'd love to help you in that journey, if you'd like. Is there something to confess today to God? Something that needs to be different? Something that needs to be removed? Priority that needs to be changed, maybe something else that needs to be added that we've ignored, that we really should be focusing on? What have we done wrong? What have we not done right? God says He wants to change us and help us to follow His heart. Do we need a change of diet? Something to be removed, something else to be added in? What does God say to you in our time? This is our response to Him so that we can grow and leave here different people. Today we've got some folks on the road. The American Heritage Girls and the Trail Life organization. They're camping out, finishing up their journey, probably on the way back soon. Why don't you pray for their safety? In our response time, it's a time to pray as well, to an assignment that God would place on your heart. Builders for Christ, they begin their ministry up in Kentucky tomorrow. Some are already there. Some are traveling today. Pray for safety and pray for God to do a great work there. Remember, we gather here for encouragement and we have a refueling time, but the real work is out there. So we need to be prepared to do that. Today, we're going to be here to help you in any way. Maybe there's somebody on your heart we can pray for. Maybe there's a need you have. Maybe there's a decision that you would like to make public here today to follow Christ, to be a part of the Summit Faith family here. If God's leading you to do that, we would rejoice in that time. Won't you stand with us? And as God speaks, we invite you to respond.